All right, we'll say good morning. We have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Vav 6. We are picking up in Meretz Hashem. We are picking up at the two dots on the bottom of heaven. Days 5b, five lines up from the bottom. We'll say our shir this morning is dedicated by our Talmud Torah sponsors of the month of Adar, Lerner Mishpacha, in memory of Mrs. Dina Lerner Gerber, Dina Bas Yehuda Leib. The week of learning is dedicated by Paul and Kathy Pollock, in memory of Paul's grandparents, Zachariah Ben Zachariah and Dina Bas Pesach, Mr. and Mrs. Shmuel Artman, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe David Artman, Le'ilui Nishmas, and Le'zecha Nishmas, their father's 20th yahrzeit, Fishel Beryl Ben Yitzchak Gershon. The day of learning today is dedicated by Gary Goodman, in honor of the bris of his grandson, Avram Moshe Ben Shalom Yecheskel. And the shir this morning is dedicated by Dr. and Mrs. Haber, in memory of Dr. Haber's brother, Yaakov Ben Svi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshamas will have an aliyah and the families a nechama. I will say with that, let us begin. Two dots, incredible gemara today. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamotzi Mechanos Laplatya, Derech Stav. So it's an interesting case. If a person goes ahead and brings out the chafetz, brings out an object from the chanos, from a store to a platya. So we'll say platya is exactly as it sounds, a plaza. A plaza. So just so you understand, the chanos is a rishos hayochid, a private domain. The platya is a rishos harabim, a public domain. So one goes ahead and brings out an object from the chanos to the platya. So the gemara says, derech stav. Now, interestingly enough, what's this stav? Look at Rashi. Stav is makom itztaba'o shiyoshim sochrim v'shem karmelis aleha dalav lihilucho kirishos harabim. I'm supposed to listen to this. The stav is this, I don't know what the good English word for this is, but essentially what they would have is in front of stores, in front of store areas, they would have an open area with short pillars. Short pillars. So the truth is, the area could be used for sitting, like imagine like benches, but instead of benches, individual seats. But also the reason why it was in front of stores, the reason why stores were set up by these areas, is because these small pillars were also used for merchants to put out their wares. So just to understand what's happening over here, the individual is taking an object from the chanos, which is Rishus Hayachid, walking through what we call the stav, that area with the small little pillars used for sitting and also putting out wares, and then walking into the plaza, which is Rishus Harabin. What's the status of the stav area? So Rashi points out over here, the stav area is a karmelis. So we're going to get into a more concrete definitions of all the Rishuyos in just a little bit on Vav Amud Aleph. But for our purposes right now, a karmelis is an area which resembles a Rishus Harabim, but at the end of the day is not really, doesn't really conform to the full details of a Rishus Harabim. So just for example, why is this staff area not a real Rishus Harabim? It's very simple. Why not? Because it doesn't allow for unimpeded pedestrian traffic. We're going to see that part of what makes a Rishus Harabim a Rishus Harabim is the ability for unimpeded pedestrian traffic. The stav, because it has all of these small little pillars all over the place, people have to weave between the pillars. So we'll say, so that's the shayla. I take an object from the store to the plaza, but I take it through the stav. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, chayiv. Did Rabbanan say you're chayiv? Why are you chayiv? We'll say, what did you do over here? So halacha lemaisa, you're chayiv. Sorry. Oh, that's you, okay. You're chayiv. You're chayiv because halacha lemaisa, you have taken an object from Rishus Harabim to Rishus Hayachid, albeit through a karmelis. Ubenazai poter. Benazai ultimately says that you are potter. So we'll say, what's the pshat? It says, the Gemara, Bishlama ben Azai. So we'll say, why does ben Azai say that you're potter? Bishlama ben Azai, kasar mahalech ka'omei dami. It's very simple. Ben Azai says that when you walk through a particular space, it's as if you are at rest, right? So according to ben Azai, walking through a rishus is ki'ilu, you have stopped there. So if according to ben Azai, what's happened, Rabbi? We'll say, what's happened? You've taken an object from Rishus Hayachid, and then what? Essentially, you walk through the stav. You walk through a karmelis. But according to Ben Azai, walking is the equivalent to stopping. So what have you effectively done? It's kilu what? It's kilu like you've put the object down in the stav, then picked it up again, and walked out ultimately into Rishus Harabim. So Rabbi says, so that's not really, you can't be chayiv for that, because remember, you're only chayiv for transferring an item from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. Or we'll see like Dalet Amos in Rishus HaRabim. But taking an object from a Carmelis, ultimately again, to a Rishus HaYachid, or a Carmelis to a Rishus HaRabim, technically speaking is not Chayiv. So according to Ben Azai, when you walk through a space, it's as if the object has come to rest in that space. According to the Rabbanan, so Rabbanan hold, when you walk through a space, that is not kilu, the object has come to rest in that space. So we'll say, but nevertheless, heichi ashkichana kai gavna dechayiv. But we'll say, at the end of the day, how could the Rabbanan really hold that you're chayiv? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Heicha ashkichana kai gavna demifsika reshus achrisi nechayiv. So, I understand Ben Azai's position, right? Ben Azai's position is Hiluch Mahalech Ka'omidami. Walking through a particular Rishos is as if what? The object you are carrying has come to rest in that Rishos. But how do the Rabbanon just say that you're Chayiv? And as we're both saying, this one thing you have to say is that this is clearly not a paradigmatic case of Hotzah, right? Paradigmatic Hotzah is what? Here, you are walking through an exempt area, a technically exempted area. So how could the Rabbanan just say straight out that you're chayiv? I'm Rabbi Yochanan, on top above. Midi dehava mavrich evis b'rishos harabim. So we'll say it's very interesting, because according to the Rabbanan, why is this any different than transporting an object, dalet amis, in rishos harabim? Now let's remember again, what is the halacha? The halacha is, the halacha is that you are not allowed to transport an object more than Dalet Amis in Rishus HaRabim. The Rabbah said, now listen to this. The halacha is, look at Rashi. Midi dehava mavrichev is Rishus HaRabim. Yosir mi Dalet Amis. V'chol kama dolo manoch lei potter v'chi anche chayiv v'af agav de'ifsi kilucha beni u'beni. So we'll say, this is fascinating. Imagine the following scenario. Reuven is carrying an object through Rishus HaRabim. Now remember, how far do you have to travel in order to go ahead and violate Shabbos? Four Amos in Rishus HaRabim. Watch this. Let's say Reuven walks Dalet Amos, he's holding an object. And he walks 4 Amos, 10 Amos, 15 Amos. He's only Chayav when, Rabbi Osai. He's only Chayav when? When he stops. What the Gemara is suggesting is, let's say he walks a total of 15 Amos. Anything in between Amma number 5 and Amma number 15, technically speaking, is like an exempt area. Why is it like an exempt area? Because essentially, once you got past Amma number 4, so then again, you have traversed the area of liability. Anything extra beyond that, there's no new chiyuv, there's no new obligation or liability which has been generated. Therefore, the Gemara says, and yet we see that what? When you do put down the object, you are chayiv. Even though, again, there is this whole additional area of amos between amma number 5 and amma number 15, which technically speaking is what we call exempt area. In other words, there's no new liability generated by that. Yet, even though you've traversed this new exempt area, halacha lemaisa, when you do put down the object, you are chayiv. To which the Gemara says, come on, that's not really a good comparison. Hasam lav afagav v'kam dinakileva azul batar, kimanech lechayiv, hachinami loshna. So we'll say, the Gemara wants to draw an example that why that's no different than a case of what? Carrying from the chanos, from the storage sayachid, through the stav, the carmelis, and putting down the object in the platki, in the plaza, the shesorabim. In both cases, you're carrying through an exempted area, and yet when you ultimately do put down the object, you will be liable. To which the Gemara says, I don't know, me dummy, is that really comparable? Hasam kolecha demanech le'makum chiyufu. It's not really true, but in the case of the Rosh Sarabim, wherever you end up putting down that object in Rosh Sarabim, that is all a liable area. Hacha imanech le'bistav makum paterhu. We'll say, in this case, if you were to put down the object ultimately in the plaza, in the staff, right, the area with the pillars, ultimately, again, you would be potter. So therefore, the Gemara says it's not really a good comparison. Rishus HaRabim is a makum chiyuv. It is a place of liability. The stav, by definition, is not. Ella, so we'll remember again, just so you understand, we're trying to figure out the position of the Rabbanon. Ben Azai, I understand, right? Why does Ben Azai say that you're potter? Because Ben Azai says, holech ka'omei dami. When you walk through a Rishus, it's as if what? You've come to rest in that rishus. So according to Ben Azai, when you walk from the chanos to the platya, and you walk through the stav, it's as if what? You have come to rest in the stav, and therefore again, you won't be chayiv. We're trying to figure out the position of the Rabbanon. Why do the Rabbanon ultimately again hold that you're going to be chayiv for such a case? Here we go. Ella, midi dehavya ma'avir chayfetz mitchilas dalid l'sof dalid. Rather, what is it like? It's like a case of where one is transporting an object in Rosh Hashanah from the beginning of Dalai Lamas to the end of Dalai Lamas. So watch this. Hasam lav afagavdi manach lebusok Dalai Lamas pater. If you were supposed to say, if you carry an object in Rosh Hashanah, you carry an object and you place the object, let's say you stop within Dalai Lamas. You put it down within Dalai Lamas. So what's going to be the halacha is your pater. Right, Rabbi, if you carry less than a dalat amas, your pater. Yet kimanech lebisof dalat amas chayiv. Yet halacha lemaisa, if you go ahead and you place the object at the end of dalat amas, you will be chayiv. So Rabbi says, see, here you have it. Meaning, it's the same type of dynamic. If you were to go ahead and stop in the middle, you would be pater. But yeah, if you go to the end of that dalat amas, you're chayiv. To which the Gemara says, hachanami lo shna. To which the Gemara says, it's not a good comparison. Me dummy. Hasam legabi dehai gavra makam peturu luchuli ama makam chiyufu. So I will say, while it is true that for the individual within Dalai Lamas is called a makam peturu, an exempted area, but for everyone else, what is this called? This is called Rosh Sarabim, and therefore is an area of liability. Hacha luchuli ama makam peturu. But say, in the case of the stav, for everyone, this area of a carmelis is a makam peturu. Ela midi dehavi amotzi min rishus hayochid l'rishus harabim derech tzidei rishus harabim. Rather, it must be that what? This could be comparable to a case, well, listen to this case, of a person who's carrying an object from one rishus hayochid to another rishus hayochid through the sides of rishus harabim. We'll say, as we're going to see, tzidei rishus harabim are the following. They're an area which are, technically speaking, rishus hayochid. Technically speaking, it's private property. But what happens? When the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim becomes very congested, people spill over onto this tract of land. See, I have like a lot of examples like this. So really, technically speaking, from a designation perspective, it is private domain. But from a Metzias perspective, when there's a lot of pedestrian traffic, the Rabbim spill onto this. So we're going to see that this type of area has a fascinating type of designation. So Gemara says, so Hasam lav afagav di manich leati the Rosh Rabbim pater. So listen to this. In that case, suppose if you were to carry something from a Rishus Hayachid, place it down in the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, right? Then halacha lemaisa, you would be pater. Yet, v'chi manach lebi Rishus HaRabim chayiv. If you were to place it down in the Rishus HaRabim, you would be chayiv. Hacha nami lo shna. So too over here, I will say in this same case of the chanos, the stav, and the platya should be the same. To which the Gemara says, Maskif l'rapapa, hanicha l'rabbanan, da'amri tzidei Rishus HaRabim, lav kirshus HaRabim. Tell me, supposedly that makes sense according to the Rabbanon, who say that the sides of Rosh Hashanah, in other words, that area that if the Rosh Hashanah becomes too congested, the public spill into, that's not like Rosh Hashanah. According to Rabbanon, say it's not like Rosh Hashanah. This makes sense. Rabbanon say there is a position of Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov who holds that Tzidei Rosh Hashanah have the status of Rosh Hashanah. If that's the case, then halacha lemaisa, what is there to say? Amle Rav Acha b'Rav Dravika. Amar the Shamas the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the Rosh Hashanah, but say, when does Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov say that the sides of the Rosh Hashanah have the status of Rosh Hashanah? Hecha deleka chifufi. But say, that's only when there's not, chifufi means some type of obstruction or obstacles. Otherwise, Rabbi Elazar, what would happen is sometimes private landowners would place a fence or something, because they did not want the rabbin spilling into their property. They just didn't want the rabbin. So when is that true? That ultimately, again, that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is like Rishus HaRabim, when there's nothing obstructing the public from getting into Tzidurish Rabim. Aval Heicha Di'ika Chafufe. But I will say, if there are, like if, for example, Reuven puts up a fence, or Reuven puts up some types of obstructions or obstacles on his Tzidurish Rabim, if that's the case, Misham Mislei, even Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov would say that Halacha L'maisa, if somebody is putting up some type of obstacles or something, ultimately, again, to his Sidi Rosh Hasharabim, then it certainly would not be like Rosh Hasharabim. Hilchach lahadamya. Therefore, I will say, ultimately, again, this would actually be a good comparison. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So what the Gemara essentially ends off with is, it could very well be that the case of the Stav is more comparable ultimately again to a case of like the Sidi Rosh Hasharabim that has some type of obstacle there. Good. So bottom line is, we have a fundamental machlok of Simben Azai and the Rabbanon regarding what happens when you carry from the Chanus to the Platya. So ultimately, let's be clear. I'm starting where? In Rosh Hashayachid. I'm ending up where? In Rosh Hasharabim. But what's happening over here? I'm traveling through a Carmelis. Carmelis as defined as an area that is like a Rosh Hasharabim, but does not really satisfy the criteria of Rosh Hasharabim. So that's a good example of that is the Stav, this area with all of these small pillars. It's like Rosh Hasharabim in that it's open and accessible to everyone, but it's not a real Rosh Hasharabim. Why? Because it does not allow for unimpeded pedestrian traffic because of the pillars. So the Shaila is, what's the status of my act? Ben Azai saying, I'm Potter. The Gemara says, Ben Azai, we understand. Right? What's Ben Azai's logic? Holich ka'omeid dummy. Which we always say, such a fascinatingly counterintuitive statement. Right? Walking is like standing. Right? Holich ka'omeid dummy. That ultimately, again, when you go ahead and you walk through the Stav, it's as if you have come to rest. Because you have come to rest, therefore you've broken up the act of carrying, and therefore you will be putter. Now what we've shown is, according to the Rabbanan, ultimately hold that you are chayiv. Why would you be chayiv? Because Rabbi say it could very well be that the stav is like a case of an unimpeded tzidei Rosh Hasharabim. Just like an unimpeded tzidei Rosh Hasharabim, so too the stav will also have this quasi-status as well. Now Rabbi say, no, there's an incredible musr in that statement. Ultimately of holich ka'omeid dummy. So you say to yourself, right, the whole yisod in life is to be a holich. That's the whole avod in life, is to be a holich, is to move, is to grow, is to constantly progress in life. But if you don't have a clear vision of where you're going or what you're doing, even if you're a holich, it's ka'omeid dummy. Right? Even if Allah, so I will say, again, it's not just enough in life to grow, but you have to have a plan for your growth. How are you growing? What's the direction you're growing in? What are the things you want to work on? Because directionless growth, even though it's halicha, it's ka'omei dami. It's kind of like standing still in place. It doesn't fundamentally progress your life agenda. An incredible yisod. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Umode ben Azai bizorek. But Ben Azai does agree with the case of Bosei, where what? See, Bosei, the case we're talking about over here is, right, Reuven, we'll call it, is actively transporting the item from point A to point B. Right? So he's taking the item from the Chanos through the Stav into the Platya. So Bosei, so that's what Ben Azai says, that's your Pater. Your Pater, because Holich Ka'omei Dami. But even Ben Azai would agree that if you throw the object from the Chanos to the Platya, and the object goes through the area of the Stav, then what? Then halacha lamaisa, you will be chayiv. Look at Rashi, bezorek, mechanos laplatya, derech stav dechayiv, to halo nach bekarmelis midi. So we'll say, remember, even Ben Azai only holds that it's holeich ka'omeid. When you traverse an area, it's as if it comes to rest. But Ben Azai will agree that if you throw an object through the airspace of the Stav, you will still be chayiv. You will still be chayiv halacha lamaisa, because the item is not as if it came to rest. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara's Tanya, Rabbi Yochanan, that supports this. Hamotzi mechanos leplatya derech stav chayiv. If a person carries an object from the chanos to Rosh Hashayachid to the platya, to the plaza Rosh Hasharabim derech stav, but he takes by way of the stav, which is a carmelis, chayiv. Ultimately, again, you will be chayiv for an act of hotzah like that on Shabbos. Rabbi say that is indeed on the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Echot hamotzi ve'echot hamachnis. Rabbi say the direction is irrelevant. So whether you're going from the chanos to the platya, or from the platya to the chanus, and you're going through the stav, right? The Carmel is either way, you will be chayiv. Ve'echat hazorek, ve'echat hamoshit. And I will say ultimately again, whether you go ahead and, right, whether you go ahead and you throw something, whether you hand something, Ben Azai, Omer Ben Azai says, Hamotzi v'machnis pater, but Ben Azai will say that halacha l'maisa, if you're actively carrying it, and you walk through the stav, you will be pater, because Rabbi Sakrin to Ben Azai, walking through the stav ultimately is as if you've come to rest there. However, Hamoshit v'azorik chayiv, but halacha l'maisa, if you hand something or you throw something, Ben Azai will agree that halacha l'maisa will be chayiv. So Rabbi Sakrin, what comes out, bottom line is as follows. Everyone agrees that if you throw an object from the chanus into the platya, and it passes through the airspace of the stav, everyone will agree you will be chayiv, because the item has not come to rest in the stav. Rabbi Yosef, of course, remember, we did have an opinion of Rav that said, kluta kemisha hunchadamya, that when something goes through the airspace, ultimately it is as if it's come to rest. Apparently, again, these opinions over here, no one subscribes to that concept here. So therefore, everyone will agree that if you throw the object from the chanus to the platya, and it goes through the stav, that you will be chayiv. Machlokas ben Azai and the Rabbanon is if what? Is if you walk through carrying the object. Ben Azai says you're pater, because when you walk through the stav, it is as if you have come to rest in the stav. Rabbanon will say that you will be chayiv. Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rabbanon. That halacha l'maisa, walking through the Carmelis is not as if it has come to rest in the stav, and therefore one will be chayiv for an act of transporting an object from the chanos to the platya, or from the platya to the chanos, even though halacha l'maisa, you are walking through the Carmelis area. Good. Rabbi say, now we come to perhaps one of the most important statements. Tan Rabbanan. Rabbi say, it's interesting. You know, watch this. The Gemara says as follows. Tan Rabbanan. The Gemara is quoting a Tosefta. Dalid Rishuyos B'Shabbos. So now we're going to get our definition of domains for Shabbos. Even though we're kind of into this discussion already, now we're going to begin to really define our different domains. There are four primary domains for Shabbos purposes. Rishus Hayachid, private domain. Rishus Harabim, public domain. Carmelis, which Rabbi says is an area that we saw, resembles a Rishus Harabim, a public domain, but does not adhere to the criteria of a public domain. Umakom Ptur. Rabbi says, Makom Ptur is what? An exempted area. Exempted. So these are the Dalur Rishus of Shabbos. Private, right, Rishus Hayachid, Rishus Harabim, Carmelis, Makom Ptur. Here we go. Let's define them. Ve'ezir Rishus Hayachid. I will say, what is a private domain? Charetz, Shu Amuk Yod V'Rachav Dalet. An example would be a charetz. I will say now, a charetz is a hole in the ground. A hole in the ground that is 10 tfachim deep and 4 tfachim wide. So I will say, here the Gemara gives me the dimensions, ultimately, again, of a Rishus Hayachid. A Rishus Hayachid is any area that is 10 tefachim deep, 4 tefachim wide. Now, as we're going to see, this is not the only definition. I will say, for example, my yard is Rishus Hayachid, right? My yard is Rishus Hayachid. So what the Gemara is talking about over here is dimensions that, obviously, private property is going to be a Rishus Hayachid. What the Gemara is talking about over here is even above, even beyond private property, if you have an area that is four tefachim wide and 10 tefachim deep, we're going to see, even if that area is situated in the Rishus Harabim, halacha l'maisa, that could be called a Rishus Hayochid. So that's the definitions of a Rishus Hayochid. V'chein geder, shu gavo yud v'rachav dalet. And similarly, if you have a fence that is 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide, the area of that fence also represents a Rishus Hayochid. Zohi Rishus Hayochid gimura. This is a complete and total Rishus Hayachid. Okay, again, we're going to go into each of these categories separately. Ve'ezir Rishus Harabim. What's an example, ultimately, again, of a Rishus Harabim of a public domain? Sratya Platya Gedola. Rashi says, Sratya is Mesila Shalchan Bami earlier. So Sratya is what we would call like a highway, right? A road that goes from one city to another city. Platya, Rashi says, is Rachwa Shalir Shisham is Kaps in the Schora. So I'll say Plat is what we define as a plaza, right? A large open area, a marketplace. a marketplace, saw a highway, is a Rosh Hasharabim, right? A plaktya, a marketplace, is a Rosh Hasharabim. Umavuos hamifuloshin. So I will say mevuos hamifuloshin. Ultimately, again, are roads within a city that are open on both ends. Again, we're going to define all of these things. If you look at Rashi says mevuos mifuloshin shel ir rechavim yud vav ama. Right. So I will say according to Rashi. So ultimately, again, these are large open roads that traverse the inside of a city that are at least 16 amos in width. So just to give you right, so an amma is a foot and a half. So there are at least 16 amos in width. So mostly just to give you an idea, you know, in Rav Moshe finds the Gezat Levrach in the same as Tshuva as to why Brooklyn cannot have an Eruv. Right? Brooklyn cannot have an Eruv because he passed in that Ocean Parkway is a Rishus Harabim Deoraisa. Because we're going, and again, the truth is we're going to see a lot of these sugyas much more in Erevin than we'll see them in Shabbos. But Ocean Parkway is an example, ultimately, again, of a street which traverses the inside of a city, is more than 16 amos wide, and ultimately, again, also has the necessary amount of pedestrian volume. So that's just to give you an idea. So the Gemara says as follows. Next, so the Gemara says, "Ve'imotziim irshus hayach l'irshus harabim zu ve'imachnisim irshus harabim l'irshus harab ayachid zu." So we'll say salach l'maisa. You can't take an object from rishus harabim to rishus hayachid, from rishus hayachid to rishus harabim ve'imotzi ve'hechnis. And if you did so, if you transported an item from rishus hayachid to rishus harabim or vice versa, what's the halacha? B'shogei chayev chatos. If you did it unintentionally, you are chayev chatos. Bemezid anush kares. But if you went ahead and you did it intentionally, ultimately again you are chayiv kares viniskal. So both say, so inadvertent transgression requires a karban. Intentional transgression, chas v'shalom, is chayiv kares and skila. Good. I mean, not good, but good. We'll go by it. Aval yamu bika. We'll say, but watch this. What about a sea? Yam is the sea. Bika is wide open fields. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, you would say, is the Yam Rosh Hashanah, is the Yam Rosh Hashanah, is the sea public domain? It is. But as we're going to see now, in this next category of things, these are areas that are open to the public, but don't have the volume of pedestrian traffic. So remember again, in order to be a Rosh Hashanah, again, the Gemara didn't spell that out over here, but the Gemara, if you look at the examples of the Gemara ultimately, again, are like the marketplace. The marketplace has size and volume of traffic. Shabbos says, so therefore, again, yam, but the sea, bika, wide open fields, istavanis. Rashi says, istavanis, what we just had before, right? I don't know what the good English word is, but it's like the, what's the English word? Bench area. Okay. I expected more, right? Bench area. All right, great. Right, so let's say, so right, the seating area that's there, as we just described before, the Carmelis, and I will say Carmelis again, as we mentioned before, is kind of like a catch-all phrase for any area that is like the Rosh Hasharabim, but does not adhere to certain criteria. What's the halacha? Ain't a low kirshas harabim, velo kirshas ayach. So I will say, so the examples over here are very telling. So the examples over here are areas which are open and accessible to the public, but yet at the end of the day lack the volume of pedestrian traffic. So we'll say, so in halacha, what do we do with these areas? So watch this. Eino lo kirshas harabim velo kirshas hayachid. So we'll say in reality, these areas, they're not really like public domains. Why? Because as we said before, they lack pedestrian traffic. They're also not like private domains, right? Why? Because halacha lemaisa, they are open to the public. So they're not like Rosh Hasharabim because they lack pedestrian traffic. They're not like private domains because halacha lemaisa, they are open to the public. Therefore, ve'inosin v'nosin besocha. Therefore, we'll say halacha lemaisa, you're not allowed to carry dalet amos in these areas. Just like Rosh Hasharabim. V'imnasa v'nasa besocha, potter. But if you did carry dalet amos in these areas, you're potter. V'im motziin misocha l'Rosh Hasharabim v'lo m'Rosh Hasharabim l'socha. V'im machnisa m'Rosh Hasharabim l'socha v'lo m'socha l'Rosh Hasharabim. So if Rabbi said, these areas, which we will call a carmelis, all of these areas, essentially, you kind of give them the stringencies of both Rosh Hasharabim and Rosh Hasharabim. So just like you can't carry dalet amos in Rosh Hasharabim, you also can't carry dalet amos in a Carmelis. And in the same way that you can't carry, several of us in the same way you can't carry from a Carmelis to a Sarabim, or from a Sham to a Carmelis, from a Shesayachid to a Carmelis, from a Carmelis to a Shesayachid. But if halacha lemaisa you did carry from any area to a Carmelis, or from a Carmelis to any other area, halacha lemaisa you will be pater. Chatzeros shel rabim umavuos sheinan mefulashin. Similarly, again, courtyards that belong to the public, or streets that are not open on both ends. Again, we'll see what these mean. Eruvu, if you make an eruv, baser tomar over here, an eruv chatzeros mutarin. Ultimately, again, you could carry into them. So we'll say now we're transitioning a little bit into the following case. Let's say you have a courtyard that is shared by many homes, right? Or homes or courtyards that open up into a shared alleyway. So we'll say, so these are areas that halacha lemaisa are publicly owned, or they're jointly owned, but halacha lemaisa, they're not open to the general public. So in these areas, in order to carry from them or to them, you require what's called an Eruv Chatzeros. Again, we'll see all of this more inside. See, if you made an Eruv, then ultimately, again, you could carry from the homes into them, or from the courtyards into them. But without an Eruv, ultimately, again, you cannot carry. Adam Omid Al Isikufa. We'll say if a person is standing on the Isikufa. Now, we'll say in this context over here, Isikufa literally means the threshold of a house. The threshold of a house. Now watch this. If he stands on the threshold of a house, no tell me balabayis, vinosin lo. So the balabayis, right, the person inside the house, could give something to a person standing on the threshold. No tell me balabayis, vinosin lo. No tell me ani, vinosin lo. Similarly, again, about saying, the person standing on the threshold, as we're going to see, the threshold itself is what's called a makom ptur. It's a non-rishos. Therefore, again, we'll call it, it's rishus fluid, which I will say essentially means that ultimately, again, if you're standing on the threshold, the person in the house could give you something, and you could give something back to the person. The person, the rishus rabbin, could give you something, and you could give it back to the person. No, tell me, I don't even know, sin lo. Obilvad, shalo yitol mi balabayis v'nosin la'ani, me'ani v'nosin la'balabayis. I will say, but what can't you do? So I will say, into the fluid. Again, we're going to define all of this. But essentially, the isikufa itself is a makom ptur, is an exempted area. Therefore, Rabbi say it essentially is, like we said before, it's rishus fluid. So he could get something from the balabayis, give back to the balabayis. Balabayis is rishus yachid. He can get something from the ani, give back to the ani. Right? The ani is rishus harabim. What can't he do? He can't go ahead and be the conduit to transfer something from the ani in the rishus harabim to the balabayis in the rishus hayachid. That he can't do. V'im natal, but if he did do it, v'im natal v'nasan shlashta patur. Ultimately, again, all three of them are patur. Achirim, others say, isikufa mishamesh as beiz rishuyos. But say, others say, no, the definition of the threshold depends. What does it depend on? Bizman shef hesach pasuach kilifnim. Pesach no kaluchot. So we'll say, watch this. The threshold, everything depends on what? If the door to the house is open. Right? If the door to the house is open, so ultimately, again, the threshold is like the Rishus HaYachid. If the door to the house is closed, then the threshold will be like Rishus HaRabim. The Gemara says, Vim Haisasikuf Gvoa Yur Urachama Dalit. Now, boss, you already know the answer to this. What happens if the threshold is four tefachim wide? Ultimately, again, by 10 tefachim high, then Rabbi will say, what does that sound like? Dimensions for Rishus HaYachid, Harei Zeh Rishus Li'atzma. So we'll say, interestingly enough, you could have a threshold that, technically speaking, is its own Rishus HaYachid. Becomes its own public, private domain. Good. So we'll say, now we'll say, what you just saw over this time, Rabban, on this Tosefta, is perhaps one of the most important pieces in the Gemara that we're going to see. Because now we finally have our definitions. We know the definition of Rosh Hashayachid, the definition of Rosh Hasharabim, the definition of a Carmelis, and the definition of a Makom Ptur. So as I just see on the stand, by the way, the dimensions ultimately of that Isikufa is that it's less than Dalid Bayur. Right? It's less than 4 Tefachim by 10 Tefachim. So therefore, again, that's what kind of creates that. The same way that a Carmelis is an area that does not conform to the details of a Rosh Hasharabim, you can imagine for our purposes that the Makom Ptur is an area that does not conform to the measurements of a Rishus Hayochid. Okay, so with that, let's go weiter. Amar Mar, so we'll say, here we go. Zohi Rishus Harabi, Zohi Rishus Hayochid. So we'll remember again, so the Braisa went out of its way to define the parameters of a private domain. So when it says, Zohi Rishus Hayochid, this is an example of Rishus Hayochid, Lemeute Ma, what is it coming to exclude? Lemeute Hadra Bihuda, Tesanya Yasir Al Kain, Am Rabbi Yehuda, we'll say, watch this. Mishiyesh lo beis batim b'shnei tidei rishus harabim. So we'll say, it's an interesting case. Imagine for a moment you have a street. That street is rishus harabim. On both sides of the street you have homes. Two homes. So watch this. Rabbi Yehuda said that if somebody has, that if there are two homes on either side of the rishus harabim, o selechi amad beis, o selechi mikan velechi mikan, o kora mikan vekora mikan, So Rabbi said, Abihuda has a pretty wild cheetah. He's a wild cheetah. And Rabbi said, now, his cheetah is based on the following. Imagine for a moment you were to have two homes on either side of the Rishus HaRabim, and you were to have an overhang over the Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that halacha l'maisa, that covered area of the Rishus HaRabim, takes on the status of what? A Rishus HaYachid, a private domain. Rabbi Yehuda takes that a step further. That if you have two homes on either side of the Sarab, two homes on each side of the street, and each home, right, were to make a lechi or a korah, and I'll say, again, we'll get into this more later on, but a lechi or a korah, just to understand where this really comes up, and is in the following case. In Talmudic times, follow me with this just a moment. In Talmudic times, homes opened up into a shared courtyard. Shared courtyards opened up into a shared alleyway, and alleyways opened up into the public domain. The halacha is that on a technical level, there is no problem carrying in a shared alleyway, because that's still called a private domain. But because you often had multiple courtyards opening up into a shared alleyway, it had the appearance of a Rishus HaRabim. What the rabbis therefore legislated is, you have to make some type of siman, some type of sign, on the shared alleyway, so that people know how to distinguish between a shared alleyway and Rishus HaRabim. What type of distinction that you have to make? You have to put either a lechi or a korah at the entranceway of the mavui, at the entranceway of the alleyway. A lechi or a korah is either a vertical or a horizontal beam at the entranceway of the alleyway that would remind you that this alleyway is a Rishus HaYochid, but the outside is a Rishus HaRabim. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you put a lechi or a korah on those two homes on opposite sides of the Rishus HaRabim, that makes the area in between the two homes a Rishus HaYochid. The Gemara is coming along and saying that when our Braisa said, when the Tosefta said over here, Zohi Rishus HaYochid, it is coming to exclude the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Namely, we do not accept Rabbi Yehuda's position. In other words, you cannot convert a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYochid by putting up some type of beam on either side of the Rishus HaRabim. So we'll say ultimately again, now remember, the Lashon of the Braisa was, so remember again, I'll say how the Braisa was organized. First, the Braisa gave you the list of all four domains. After that, the Braisa then began to define Ve'ezuhi Rishus HaRabim, or Ve'ezuhi Rishus HaYachid. What's the Rishus HaYachid? So again, then the Braisa gave the examples of Rishus HaYachid, and then it said Zohi Rishus HaYachid Gimura. This is a real Rishus HaYachid. So ask the Gemara, why do you need that last phrase Zohi Rishus HaYachid Gimura? To which the Gemara says, Ma'od Teima, Keep the Yira Banale Rabbi Yehuda, Delo Habi Rishus HaYachid. Because you might have thought, when do the rabbis not accept Rabbi Yehuda's idea of converting a Rishus HaRabim between two homes into a Rishus HaYachid with the placement of a lechi or a korah? That's only for what to carry. But ultimately, again, for throwing purposes, perhaps they would agree. Kamashmalon Abosai, that ultimately, again, the rabbis reject the position of Rabbi Yehuda in totality, and therefore there is no ability to go ahead and convert a Rishus HaRabim in between two homes into a Rishus HaYachid with just the presence of a Lechi or a Korah. Good. Amar Mar. Zohi Rishus HaRabim, Lumi Uteimai. So we'll say next. Remember again. The next part was, the Braisa gave the example of a Rishus HaRabim. Right? So when it says, Zohi Rishus HaRabim, what is it coming to? So we'll say, so again, so far one case down. Right? We have our definition of Rishus HaYachid. What's Rishus HaYachid? So by the way, obviously, what is Rishus HaYachid? The obvious case. Any private property is Rishus, right? Your yard is Rishus HaYachid. That goes without saying. Also, what the Gemara is going at is giving, and by the way, and any area that has a height of 10 tefachim and an area of 4 tefachim, that's also a Rishus HaYachid. So far we've defined our first Rishus. Next, Rishus HaRabim. So it says the Gemara, Amar Mar, Zohi Rishus HaRabim, Limi Uteimai. So when the Braisa said, this is a Rishus HaRabim, what is it coming to exclude? Limi Utei Idach to Rabbi Huda. Ultimately, and it comes to exclude the first, right, the other position, Rabbi Huda. We're going to say, what does Rabbi Huda say? The son of Rabbi Huda, Omer, Im haya derech rishos harabim mefas kasan yisal kenal etzdadin vechachamim omrim eino sarech. So we're going to listen to this. An interesting case. So we'll say, we're going to see all of these situations. There is a case, so we'll say, called Pasebi Ros. If you have a well, so we'll say, listen to this. Let's say if you have a well and you want to draw water from the well on Shabbos. Let's say you have a well that's situated in a public domain. Can you draw water? And the answer sounds like no. Why? Because we'll say a well sounds to be a paradigmatic example of a Rishus HaYachid. Because a well presumably will have an area of 4 tefachim, which is not a very large area, and will certainly have 10 tefachim in depth. Which means if you're standing in the public domain, and you want to draw water, you can't really draw water, right? Because you'd be transporting it from a private domain to the public domain. So the rabbis created a leniency. Now, being able to draw water from a well on Shabbos is very important, right? And it's very important specifically, again, for the Olei Regalim. When people come to Yerushalayim on the three pilgrimage festivals, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, they had to have access to public water sources on Shabbos. So the rabbis legislated that essentially you can make a very simple enclosure to enclose a well. And I will say it's called Pase Biros. Essentially what it is, if you can imagine, it's four L-shaped partitions, right? Four L-shaped partitions in four corners, right? Each partition only measuring an amma in length, and that encloses the well. Again, we're going to get into this. They will say, what happens if you have a public path that cuts through in the middle of those partitions? Does that ruin the effectiveness of the partitions or not? So Rabbi Yehuda says yes. And therefore, again, what you have to do is you have to divert the public path outside of the partitions. The Rabbanan say, Chacham mon eino tzarech. The Chacham say, no, it's not a problem. Right? The public path ultimately does in no way diminishes the partitions. And as far as Kirashi, eino tzarech, v'hainu diktani zohi rush sarabim, aval hiluch dirabim labein apasim, lohavi rush sarabim, ho v'ikasham dalin mechitzos. Rabbi said, that's why when the Braisa we quoted before says, zohi rush sarabim, what it means is, if you have the partition surrounding the well, and there's a public thoroughfare that goes through, that public thoroughfare is not considered to be a real rush sarabim, which would ruin the partitions. V'amai karele gemura. So we'll say, why does the Braisa say, this is rush sarabim gemura? To which the Gemara says, "I did the Tani Reishi Gemura, Tana Nami Sefer Gemura." Good, just textual symmetry. Since it said Rosh Hashayachid Gemura, therefore it says what Rosh Hasharabim Gemura as well. Beautiful. Says the Gemara, "Tana Nami Sefer Gemura." Tana Nami Sefer Gemura. The Lachshav Nami Midbar. So we'll say, in the list of things that are part of a Rosh Hasharabim, why isn't a desert included in the list? Isn't the desert also Rosh Hasharabim? But listen to this. Dasanya, after all, we learn this. Dasanya, Ezohi Rosh Hasharabim, Sratya, Platya, Gidola, Mevuas, Mefulashin, Vahamidbar. We'll say, watch this. In this list, a desert is included in Rosh Hasharabim. Yet in the Braisa, in the Tosefta, we quote on Amud Aleph, Midbar is not included. Amar Abaye Lokash, it's not a contradiction. Kan Bizman Sheiso Sheruyin Bamidbar, Kan Bizman Azeh. I'll say, watch this. See, a midbar, I'll say, is very much like the yam, which means what? Technically speaking, it's accessible to the public, but you don't normally have a lot of pedestrian traffic inside of the midbar. So when the Braisa said that the midbar is like Rosh Hasharabim, that's halacha l'maisa, when the Jewish people were in the deserts. When the Jewish people were not in the deserts, then halacha lemaisa, the midbar does not have the status of rishas harabim. Amar mar im hotzi v'hechnis b'shogi chayiv chatos b'mezid anishkaris v'nisko.
So let's remember again, go back to the Brisa. What do the Brisa say? If you carry inadvertently on Shabbos from a Shesechet to a Shesarabim or vice versa, inadvertently, you're Chayiv Chatos. If you did it intentionally, you're Chayiv Kares and you get Skilo. So the Gemara says, B'shogeg Chayiv Chatos, Pshita. So we'll say, obviously, if you violated Shabbos B'shogeg, you're Chayiv Chatos, that's obvious. The Gemara says, B'mezid Anush Kares V'niskal. I'm sorry. B'mezid anush karis v'niskal tshrichale. We'll say, you're right. The truth is, there's no need to state that if you inadvertently violated Shabbos, you'll be chayiv skila. That's obvious. What's necessary is the statement that halacha l'maisa, if you did it inadvertently, you will be I'm sorry. The inadvertent statement, Rabosai, is pshita. That's obvious. What's necessary? The statement, ultimately, again, that if you did it b'mezid, you will get karis and skila. So the Gemara says, it's Rikhale. Which Gemara says, why? Hanami Pshita, isn't that obvious as well? Ha Kamashulon Kidarav. The Amarav, both listen to this. Matsasi Megillas Starim Bei Rabbi Chiya. I found the hidden scroll in the yeshiva of Rabbi Chiya. What was in the hidden scroll? The Kasuv Ba. Isi Ben Yehuda Omer, Avos Malachos Mem Chaser Achos. Isi Ben Yehuda said, there are 40 minus 1 malachas, right? 39 malachas. That actually, I mean, that's a Mishnah, right? There are 39 malachas. Ve'eino chayiv ela achos. But you are only chayiv once. You're only chayiv once. Now, we'll say, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Eino chayiv ela achos. Hashta mashmo im ha'son behalom echad shelo no dalo. Bein kol achas v'achos shechata. Eino chayiv ela achos. So also what that sounds like is as follows. If you were a busy boy and violated all 39 malachas in one lapse of awareness, then halacha l'maaseh, it sounds like you'd only be chayiv once. Is that true? Ini v'hatnan avos malachos mem chaser achos. There are 39 malachas. Va'avinam ba minyan alamali. And we asked, why do I need to know the number that it's 39? But Rabbi Yochanan to teach me shemason kol mehelam achas chayiv akalachas va'achos. To teach me, Rabbi, said that's what, that if I ended up violating all 39 malachas in one lapse of awareness, I will in fact be chayiv for every single malacha. Ela ima, eino chayiv al achos mehen. Rather, I will say, what does it mean? That halacha lemaisa, eino chayiv al achos, and Rashi says, achos, eachos yeshpan, she'eino chayiv ala. So I'll say, interestingly enough, what Rav said, what I found in this hidden scroll was, there is one malacha, that if you were to violate it intentionally, you would not be chayiv, kares, and skila. One malacha, v'ha kamash malan ha mehanach to lo mesapka. And I'll say ultimately, and therefore our Bryce is teaching us that although we're not sure exactly which one we're referring to, we know for sure that what? It's not hotzah. Hotzah is one of the malachos that if you were to violate it intentionally, you would be chayiv kares and skila. So I say, so apparently, according to this hidden scroll, again, we're going to come back to this, but according to this hidden scroll, there is one malacha. For if you were to violate it, you would not be chayiv, kares, and skila. But apparently, again, hotzah is not that malacha. I will say, we'll stop with it. I will say, just important announcement, in the coming day or so, where the shul, as there are many shuls in town, are going to have to figure out and try to reassess the policies for shiurim and public gatherings, again, going forward. The first confirmed case of coronavirus in Baltimore County just occurred last night. So we'll have to address this. So just, we're going to put something out on the WhatsApp group as well. So just stay tuned. I'm mentioning this because a number of you have reached out to me about this already, and I'm not ignoring your text and your emails and your WhatsApp messages. Just a bit too much to communicate with everyone. So Meretz Hashem, over the next day or so, we'll be putting together policies, and Meretz Hashem will share them with the Olam.